It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Welcome back to A Celtic State of Mind. I'm Paul John Dykes, and today I am delighted to be joined by Sean Connolly, who is dialing in all the way from Australia, and also Jerry Taylor joining us. Again, Jerry, having been with the Axom team on Thursday night, it was a cracking night, and you're back for the nitty-gritty of Celtic against Dundee up at Dens Park. We know that the other fixture, of course, has finished. St Mirren 1, Rangers 2. So Celtic know what we need to do. And we know the team, Jerry. We're going to get stuck into Celtic's start 11, first of all, and thoughts in relation to that. Not a great deal of what I would describe as surprises as such. We spoke about, coming into this game during the week, we spoke about selecting players who have the mentality and know how to get something over the line. And then you look at that starting 11 and Forrest starts in the absence of Maeda. Is that the right choice in your view?
I think so. Well, I know so. In my opinion, yes. When it comes to, you know, I put the blog out about James Forrest, and I said when it's coming into the split, and these are the games where you are keeping an eye on other results, and it's not just about your own team, because this is it, the nitty-gritty, and I feel like James Forrest, he's the man to do that, the man with the experience, but he's also shown over the past few games, he's still got it. He's still got the goals in him. I think he's got the patience, and like I say, the experience to get us over the line now. He's not going to last the full game. He might not perform for 90 minutes, but let's face it, what Celtic player really has been performing for 90 minutes every game? I think he's earned it. It's not as he's just come out of the blue. The minutes that he's been getting, he's made the most of it, and he's got us some crucial goals. So I've been shouting for the rooftops to get him. Watch this now. Hopefully he takes the bull by the horns and shows everyone what he can do. And if it's going to be his last season, which a lot of people think it will be, what a way to go if he's the man that makes a difference in these last few games and gets us over the line.
You know, what we're talking about, Sean, obviously there's the ability, which Jerry's touched on, and I think he's shown that in cameos, really, in recent times. But obviously what I was talking about is he comes into a game like today with that winner's mentality. And I'm not just throwing these words about. I mean, you look at the trophy haul that he has. He's in the top five in terms of the most decorated Celts of all time. He's 12 appearances away from hitting 500. He's scored over 100 goals. He's assisted in over 100 goals. And he knows what it takes. And my big concern this season, Sean, and some of the wingers have been guilty of this, is whether or not, right, you take the technical aspect of their ability to one side, whether or not they do have it upstairs, do they have that winner's mentality? That must be playing on Brendan Rodgers' mind at the moment, bringing Jamesy Forrest back into the side at this late stage of the game.
Yeah, and look, it's a thing we used to talk about a lot back in the 2000s when we had all these title races, quote-unquote, and they were so close that you were always trying to find what the intangibles were that were like separating the teams. And that was the sort of thing you were talking about, like winning mentality, experience, just, and even nowadays, the one that people always use a lot is just wanting it more. And then like, whether as if that's some sort of metric of what something you can actually measure in a player. In our Celtic Down Under chat, there was some stats shared about Forrest versus Yang. in Forest, per 90 minutes, had Yang beating like every stat, shots on target, XG, tackles, blocks, possession, wins in the final third, everything. Forest has got him absolutely beat. So I'm happy to see him back in based on recent form. I'm disappointed that Yang never recovered from that red card and hasn't shown the promise that he did. I think it was the Dundee game before when he did win Man of the Match, and he's just not really done it since then, and I think Forrest deserves to be where he is. But you're talking about on a five-game perspective, he's not going to start all five games. I think that's pretty sure. He's in 32 now. Wingers kind of drop off a cliff at that point. Ryan Giggs had to move to centre mid. There's not too many wingers go on past that point unless they can adapt. So hopefully today is the one that he does start and do well, and then we'll see what happens after that.
You're right. Ryan Giggs is a good example because so much of his game was based on the speed, wasn't it? And he did. He went deeper to the point where I think, was he 38 or 42? He was one or the other. Don't know why those two numbers are in my head. When he played his final Champions League game. And obviously he released a yoga DVD, Jerry, and said it was all down to the yoga. Now, I don't know if Jamesy Forrest is doing a bit of the yoga, but certainly in the last 5 league games, I think we're going to be using him like today from the start, but not for every game. I think when Maeda comes back in, Jamesy will be back on the bench. But, it does bring up that question around the Yang and Palmer. All of the squad, Jerry, because these two guys have come in and I keep saying it, they have shown flashes. They are technically good players. You know, when you look at what Palmer was doing it in the early parts of this season, he could be a match winner at times. But these guys have gone off the boil, and it is like Sean was saying, it's sometimes things that you can't really gauge. You can't actually have it as part of a metric. How much does somebody want it? What is their mentality here? When the chips are down, can you count on them? And I think that's what slipped Palmer and Yang down a wee bit, particularly in the last few months, Jerry.
Yeah, definitely. The pressure, you can see it gets to them. When it really comes down to it, Brendan Rodgers has decided that out of them all, that James Forrest is the lesser risk. He's the one that's going to be able to do it for us. And like you say, in flashes, they've been great. We've been up and down. We're not allowed to say roller coaster with them, but we've been up and down.
They can use waltzers, though. It definitely bring a different ride into the equation here, Jerry.
The waltzers make me sick.
It's a ghost train.
A ghost train, aye.
Who's some of the player at this season, right enough? But Palmer, I kind of feel sorry for him in a way because I think he's got it there that he really wants to do well. But I think I think he tried too hard at times. And I think the reality hit him of just how big a club it was maybe halfway through his time here at the club. If that makes sense, I think the pressure really did start to get to him. But he does have it there. I think he's got all the skill and abundance. It's just choosing the right times to use it, not giving that ball away. But I think he deserves another season next season. Yang, for me, it's never like an in-between, is it? He's either absolutely brilliant in a game or it's like, did he win a competition to get a game? Because that's how bad he's been at times. Was there not a game where he was maybe set offside 7 times in one half?
Submitting away.
The tone of your voice. Said
I remember it.
It's burnt into your consciousness, absolutely.
Yeah, but it's the right thing to do. And do you know what? I'm really happy for Jamesy boy. But we're not writing Yang and Palmer off just yet. But if I was to choose one over the other, it would be Palmer for me.
I'm not. It's no romanticism, to get Jamesy Forrest back in and getting up to that magical figure of 500 and all this stuff. It absolutely is not. I said last week that I don't think 32 is old for a footballer. A lot of people disagreed with me and used the point that you brought up there, Sean, saying that it is when your game's all about speed. You know, once you hit 32, if you don't have that turn of pace over a 90 minutes, over the intensity of the 90 minutes, then it will affect you. So I absolutely get that. But I do think that in terms of players who, and I don't just mean like Scott Bain, who are good at the card school and all that, players like James Forrest are, for me, pivotal in a squad. And moving forward, I mean, all week, Brendan Rodgers has been speaking about his importance to this squad as well. And he actually admitted, Sean, he probably didn't play him as often as he should have in the early parts, but he did want to give some of the new arrivals more of a chance.
Yeah, it's been a really weird season for the squad. And it was even weird with the Champions League. Like, we were a bee's appendage away from Palma, who are talking about there, scoring a winner in a Champions League game. We were, Lagerbielk scores a winner in another Champions League game against Feyenoord. And these are players that are now, say, looking in at the moment, very much so. So it's been a really weird evolution in the squad. If we had any kind of depth and quality, you would say that Scales would be getting scalps on his butt today after what happened last week. So I don't know, man. It's like, I mean, I could even go as far, like, I was honestly clutching so much at straws with the squad, where the squad is at the moment, that when I saw that Lawell was coming back, I was like, maybe he could be in next week. So like, that's kind of where we're at the moment, you know. We were just not really confident with most of the players that are coming on the pitch. I'm even hearing some negative comments about McGregor and saying Iwata should be ahead of him, and I'm not here for that, even though McGregor's not up to 100% yet. I'm not here for that opinion.
No, also, like, you know, cutting short the loan deal of Mikey Johnston when Maeda gets injured, I wasn't up for that one either. What are you all saying to it? Let us know your thoughts in the comments section. If you haven't seen the Celtic starting 11, it is as follows. Joe Hart is in goals with Alistair Johnston at right back, Greg Taylor at left back, and the two central defenders are Cameron Carter-Vickers alongside Liam Scales. Now, the three in the midfield are Captain Callum McGregor, Matt O'Reilly and Rio Atati, and the front three, of course, are Kyogo Furuhashi, Nicholas Kuhn and Jamesy Forrest, who we've already discussed. On the bench, we have Lewis Palmer, we have Adam Ida, we've got Yang, who is much maligned, but someone in the comments is saying he's an impact player. Probably wouldn't argue with that, actually. Mike Navroski, Tomoki Iwata, Paulo Bernardo, Scott Bain, Daniel Kelly and Tony Ralston. Now, Jerry, Scott Bain, this is his 200th game. That's, if he doesn't get on, and I hope he doesn't, right? 200th game as an unused substitute for Celtic. That's not bad. That's not a bad gig if you can get it.
I know. What's the record?
It can't be far off that. I know that the likes of Zaluska loved an unused substitute appearance, didn't he? But not for 7 or 8 seasons. Maybe it might be somebody like John Fallon back in the 60s, 70s era, season after season, maybe getting 10 or a dozen games here or there, but mainly sitting on the bench. I don't know. But Scott Bain, if he doesn't come on today, has sat on the bench as an unused substitute for 200 games. Incredible as that is.
Fair play to him.
Not a bad gig if you can get it. I know. Dundee lineup, we're not underestimating them under any circumstances. It's McCracken, McGee, Dodgson, Boateng, Portalese, Lamy, Mulligan, McKeown, Bakayoko, Silla and Tiffany, managed, of course, by Tony Docherty. And what a season they've had, Sean, when you look at it. I mean, they were just promoted from the Championship last season. And, you know, they're sitting in the top six. I mean, Rangers are playing St Mirren today. Celtic are playing Dundee. Are St Mirren and Dundee two of the biggest six clubs in Scottish football? Well, in my opinion, no. But they're in there in merit. And you've got to respect them.
Oh, looking, more often than not, you get someone like Motherwell or Kilmarnock in there, right? So it's, this is just the kind of variation you get. The budget between, like outside of Hearts and Aberdeen, the budget is pretty similar for every other team in the league. Yeah. You might say Livingston are just a nice side looking in on that one. But that's the sort of season-on-season variation that you would expect to get. And even at the upper end where we've got maybe like another Glasgow team have got about 70% of our budget. So that's well within a season-on-season variance of catching us at any time. So that's why we need to be on our toes and spending our money. So Dundee, I feel like when teams do come up, they carry a bit of momentum, and it's more the second season up that they struggle when they're embedded in there. So I think we'll see what they're really about next year. But they have carried themselves well this year. They've carried the momentum well. It is a strange one, but to get the top six. But you've seen it before. Partick Thistle were top six, for example, and look where they are now.
Yeah, Dundee United. I always think that they are one of the biggest clubs in Scottish football, but obviously they have dropped down a division straight back up. But in terms of the infrastructure, the stadium, the support, the history, etc., I reckon they're one of the biggest clubs. Aberdeen and Hibs are absolutely underperforming. St Mirren and Dundee, are they overperforming? Probably. But I think Doherty's done really, really well, and I think Robinson at St Mirren's the same. I'm going to bring in some of these comments. Mickey Boy 80, let's extend that gap today, boys. whether that be points or goal difference. Well, we know it's going to be goal difference of anything, but we do definitely need to get that wing. Hopefully, says quarterback Punk, Forest is on fire. Yep, I would like to see that as well. And we've got a hail hail from John in Thailand. Where are you watching it, John? Are you going to go out for a wee sherbet or two whilst you watch the game? Let us know. Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? That's a question on everybody's lips, Sean. You've not been on Action for a while. You come back. Some are saying that you look like Billy Idol. Some are saying that you look like Marshall Mathers. What's going on? I love it, got to say.
Yeah, look, I get my school picture taken every year, and we were looking about samey for the last 5 years, so I thought I'd just bleach my hair and mix it up a bit. I had some like pink hairspray as well to spray some dinosaur stencils into it. I'll probably shave it off pretty soon, but I'm just rocking it for a little bit.
I'm getting sick boy vibes from Trainspot.
I heard that one as well, yeah.
And you know, I rewatched the classic Fargo last night from 1996, and that brilliant part played by, is it Peter Stormare? He's one of the bad guys, Jerry, that alongside
Steve Buscemi. Going to be controversial. I didn't like the film. Controversial, I know.
That is controversial.
I watched it years ago, right enough, in my drinking days, so I might give it a bash now I'm sober.
You should. We could divert the conversation down a Fargo rabbit hole, but we won't. We'll stick to the football. Paul O'Brien, hoping for 2 or 3 nil today. Forest to score, Paul. I hope you're right. Dundee, I know that we absolutely leathered them 7-1 at Celtic Park, Jerry, but we will not be underestimating them. I mean, I thought it was tough last time round. In fact, the aforementioned Mikey Johnson came out and had to get his trickery at play, and I think that probably earned him a move away from Celtic, that final performance. Comes on, scores 2 goals. Bernardo scored that night as well. That was a tricky game, though. That was nothing each at half-time.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become? Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Yeah, I think we can't underestimate them at all. What an achievement to get them into the top six this season. You seen their pitch today as well. It's like a snooker table. They were at it a couple of weeks ago.
It does look good.
They were at it a couple of weeks ago. Love it. Good idea, Dundee. it's going to be a tough game. What we need to do, I think they've got a couple of key players out, if I'm right in saying. I mean, obviously, I can't just focus on that, but I think from what I heard, they've got a couple of their big players out.
Beck is out. The left back.
He's a decent player. And I think that when we've seen that Beck up against Maeda, there was quite a few Celtic fans, myself included, were saying, you know what, he would be worth a punt. It was a difficult one, though, because we're always looking to upgrade on anybody that we're bringing in terms of that starting 11. Would he be an upgrade? Would he be one for the future? I'm not sure he would be an upgrade at this stage. But he's been out for quite a while, isn't he, Owen Beck?
See, I'm bad with their names. It's terrible. But there was somebody in the middle, I'm sure. I heard them talking about it on Super Scoreboard. So, but anyway, it shouldn't matter who they've got in or who they've got out. We should be coming out to make a statement today. Now that we're in this end of the season, if we go in again and struggle, all that does is give confidence to the other pack that's chasing. We need to go out and make a statement today to say, yes, this is us. We're in trophy mode, as Brendan Rodgers was saying. Because it will have an impact. They'll be watching each other's games, watching each other's form. So, a decent pitch with the sun shining. I'm just hoping for a big... We need that big game that we haven't had all season, where it's 90 minutes and we put on a performance and all players get pass marks. That's what we need today. So we're not going to get that, though. We're not going to get it. I know we aren't.
Which half?
Other than that Hearts game, obviously, in the league, you know, because the Scottish Cup game, you know, people are, for me, they're looking at that game, they're saying, right, we need to drop scales. And I think that we've kind of thrown the baby out with the bathwater with that. It's a Cup game. It's different. I look at it differently than the run we've been on which, you know, there's been one game of real concern against Hearts at Tynecastle. And even that game, you could look at some of the poor decisions that were called out by Brendan Rodgers after the game. So I think we're on a good run of form right now. And there is a bit of panic, and it's not perfect. And I know we need to run with what we've got, Sean. But some of the big talking points this week have been around who replaces Maeda on the left, because, you know, Yang did not have a good game against Aberdeen. Palmer came on, did not play well. Well, Brendan's answered that question, and he's put the kind of safe option in there with James DeForest. In the defence, it was pretty clear that we were being targeted on the left-hand side, Scales and also Taylor. Now, Aberdeen are the ninth best team in Scottish football. Dundee this season are a better side. They can target that area as well. Are you surprised that Brendan hasn't made any changes there?
Definitely. In regards to Scales, look, he did bring on Navrotsky to try and stop what was going to happen, and it happened anyway. So, look, it's a hard one, right? If you take Scales out of the team, you're losing a little bit of guile on the ball. Like, as much as he was poor defensively last week, he did have some good moments going forward, and he can get that ball down the line and in behind, and it reduces the amount of touches that the centre-back needs to take by one, just by the fact that he's left-footed on the left side. It can do that. But I did expect to see Navrotsky playing today ahead of him. And I do worry that we are going to get targeted there, because it's not rocket science, you know, monkey see, monkey do. These Dundee, I'm sure, don't have like the world's greatest and highest paid and working overtime, multi-staffed performance analysis of the opposition department. But I'm sure they tuned into the Scottish Cup semi-final last week and saw it and went, yeah, that might work for us. So yeah, I'm surprised in that sense. And I'm hoping that our players have been coached to mitigate it in some way, even if that is for other people covering for Scales.
The two big things for me, it's like you say, right, obviously, there's a real sophistication about data analysis and preparing for a game with video analysis as well, so that you can see players' strengths and weaknesses. But there was two things that were glaringly obvious for me, Jerry, last week, is that Aberdeen targeted the weakest side of their defence. And it's like, all right, we've been saying that all season. Anybody who watches football can identify that. The other thing that I thought was really interesting is how they targeted Carter Vickers. Now, Carter Vickers and Scales, there was obviously that distance between the two, and sometimes it was Carter Vickers and Johnston. And what they've done with him is Miofsky to play off his shoulder and get in behind him. And it caused Carter Vickers some real issues. And I don't think that he's been caused that kind of issue domestically all season until the weekend. Was that a concern for you, Jerry? Because I know that after the game, I was talking up Carter Vickers' performance, calling him a warrior, saying that he was throwing his body on the line. During the week, most people disagreed with that, and that's fair enough. One or two have said that they thought Carter Vickers had a good game. But they targeted him, and they actually got some change out of him as well. I'm not quite sure if Dundee have got the same quality up top as Miofsky offers Aberdeen. But that was a concern last week as well, Jerry.
Yeah, it's a slight concern. But listen, there's been slight little chinks in the armour when it comes to Carter Vickers this season. We can all agree on that, but he's also been through the injuries this season as well, and I don't think he's had that proper run of games yet to get back to the solid centre-half that we know. And also, could you say he's under more pressure because of who he's linked up with at the back? Who knows?
He's kind of carrying it. He's carrying it a bit.
Aye. Yep. There's a lot of pressure on him. Like, you think about it, like, he's injured and everyone's like, can't wait for him to get back. We can start winning ways. We can start getting better. He'll be hearing all this going, any pressure, right? But enough pressure getting fit and coming back, but then to hit that form instantly that the fans expect of him, because we idolise him now and we just see him as this big rhino at the back that can do no wrong. And yeah, he's a rock. So he'll come good. When he makes a mistake, he usually comes good after that. But I think when it comes to the whole team, he's the least there worries, eh?
You
can see the difference he makes when he's come back into the team. When it comes to Scales, I think people know how I feel about him. I think Brendan Rodgers, he's going to be loyal. He's not going to drop him for the last five games after he's done so much all the season. I think when it comes to Brendan, you've got to do something seriously wrong with your attitude or your form to get dropped. And I think he's done enough with both sides, with his attitude and his form, to be kept to the season ends, which some people will say unfortunately, but it could be a risk throwing Rocky back in. if it's not broken, don't fix it. It's just slightly broken, not enough to change them.
See the thing, Jerry, during the week, Brendan Rodgers was talking about how players that perform at training, that they're the guys that get in his team. He says, you know, it's a situation where you cannot go on autopilot and still expect to get a game. I think that speaks volumes for the likes of the defence. When you look at the situation we're in at the moment, Sean, I agree with Jerry in actual fact. I would not be making big changes at the back right now. I think you've got to, and we know the limitations of Scales. Has Liam Scales had a phenomenal season, breaking through at the Celtic side? Absolutely. Should we upgrade him in the summer? Absolutely. It's all right to have the both, Sean. But what I think that actually tells us is the other two guys who were spoken about all season, Novrosky and Lagerbjelk, I don't think they've got a future because Scales will then become the backup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with you on all three points there. I would hope that there's some work going on in the background because obviously we went into January with nothing in the pipeline and then got the two in. Kuhn was kind of in the last week. I had a prep on the last day, so I'd like to think that there's been a bit more going on to lay the groundwork to get these players in early this summer. Because and before people start with the Carter Vickers and Jota came in late in August, that wasn't ideal that year, and it wouldn't be ideal any year to get players in that late. You want them in first day of preseason, start learning the system. We were all at sea in August and September with this transition from the old system to the new one, and that's just the nature of football, nature of players. Like, all managers have different nuances, need to get used to their teammates. I totally agree with what you're saying. Scales is probably, as you say, the best man for now, and hopefully not the best man for next season.
Yeah, by the way, we didn't mention Maeda. He's also got the peroxide here as well. Who had it first, Sean? That is the big question.
It was Maeda.
Ready? Right. McIntyre, is that Neil Lennon on the show? What's going to happen, though? All your pupils are going to start getting it and you're going to get flack from their mums and dads. Jungle Lion, as bad as Celtic are or were this season, they're worse. I didn't actually watch the game. I had it on the tranny as I was preparing for the bulletin, but they didn't look great until they got that lead, did they? By the sounds of it, Stephen Sloan, we're going to need to win every game, aren't we? Yeah, I just think there's this whole thing about taking care of business, Jerry, just to bring the old Elvis motto into play again. And I think that's what you get. You get a sense of that from Brendan Rodgers when he's doing his pre-match press conferences. He's not that bothered about any other noise outside the inner sanctum of what he's dealing with. And he's just preparing himself. He can use all the cliches of the day in terms of take one game at a time, but he actually is. But we are approaching this in such a way where we've got five games to go, we win all five. You know, destiny's in our hands, Jerry.
So we're just at the stage, we're just ticking them off now, one at a time. We get through this one, puts more pressure on because they realise there's less games to gain these points now. Just need to take it one game at a time. I don't want it to, but I keep saying it's going to go down to the last game of the season. There's some really tough games coming up and some tough grounds, especially with that pitch away. And I don't think we've got much confidence in Hearts taking many points off them. So target. You know, but today's going to be a big, big, I'm not going to say test. We're going to see a lot today. If we get that big win, we've not hammered anyone in a while. I think it's going to take a lot of the pressure off. But if we get what we've had all season, game of two halves, nail biters, poor defending, then it's going to go down at the wire. But I think we'll know after today. I really do.
Goes down to the wire. That's when you bring in that mentality, the winning culture, the nerve, all these things that we talk about that we know many of the Celtic players in this side have got. And we know Brendan Rodgers certainly does as well. Celtic corner, Gerard. Welcome to the show. Goal and assist by Kuhn. Let's talk a wee bit about Kuhn then. Thanks for supporting the channel as well, Gerard. We've been focusing obviously on the absence of Maeda, but how impressed have you been since Kuhn's come into the side in January? Not a great fanfare, it's got to be said, Sean, but I think he's come onto a game, isn't he?
Yeah, he was obviously really shaky at first in those first couple of games, and I thought I was ready to write him off, and I was like, oh my god, a 5.5 year contract and this guy looks like Bobby Petta before Bobby Petta could play. And then he's really came onto a game now. And I think it's pretty much undisputed that he's our first choice winger. It certainly is an attacking force at the moment, even if you would have Maeda ahead of him as a more of a system team player. So yeah, I was super worried, but then when the whole stuff came out about losing a stone and like the tooth surgery, and he's really looked a lot better since then. And I think we might have actually got a good one there, and hopefully that's embedded in for next season and he's going to actually really kick on for us.
A pal of mine sent me an article written by Alan Paciolo, who writes for The Courier and The Scotsman, and he was saying that the last time Dundee beat Celtic in a competitive fixture at Dens Park was on the 24th of September, 1988. And it was 13,000 days ago today.
What are you saying that out loud for, Paul John?
Because it's not going to happen, right?
13? You just said 13.
13,000. Yeah, oh, lads, come on. Show a bit of positivity.
Is it true Kyogo's not scored an away goal since October?
I'd need to check that, Jerry. But for me, up top, with Kuhn on the right, you've got Jamesy Forrest on the left. I think, you know, we're going to be tapping in a wee bit more. And it's something Brendan Rodgers spoke about during the week, wasn't it, at the investors Q&A event. He and the coaching staff have been trying to tap into the wingers all season. They have not told them to do anything differently. And it has, of course, affected Kyogo's goal-scoring tally. But I just think that if he hasn't, Jerry, then today's the day. Another thing I think pretty funny. Last week, Joe Hart talking about his best memories at Celtic. Livy away. Loves everything about Livy away. The three stands, the atmosphere, the plastic pitch. Jerry, give me a prediction today, because when Andy mentioned that we don't lose games at Dens Park, you lost your mind there. Come on, what's your prediction?
I don't know if you can tell, but I'm really nervous today. Like, really nervous. I'm just going to say it. My prediction is it's going to be another nail biter. It's going to be a game of two halves. I don't know what half we'll play great in, but we will get the result and we will beat Dundee.
Good man. What about yourself, Sean? What about yourself? Give me a prediction.
I've just got too much past trauma of these title run-ins. I'm just going to be optimistic and say 3-1 to Celtic, but it'll be a last-minute goal to put a gloss on it. I think it'll be tight to the end.
Okay, well, let's go and join the action. Thanks, everybody, for getting involved. Well over 1,000 on the pre-match. It's always an absolute pleasure. Thanks for getting involved in the comments section as well. Come and join us at halftime. We'll be talking, no matter what happens in the first 45, Sean, Jerry and I will be here. Go and enjoy the game. Thank you once again to Sean Connolly and Jerry Taylor for joining me on A Celtic State of Mind.
Yeah.
Podcast Network.